This time on episode 205 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be talking about Inhumans Behold the Inhumans and Those Who Would Destroy Us. We'll also be talking about weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm Joe Burke from PopX Cast, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all of our podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, October 1st, 2017. Live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, I kid you not, happy National Hair Day.
How appropriate.
Yeah, I'm going to celebrate my National Hair Day by chopping it all off as soon as possible.
I've decided to push back my annual beard to November 1st instead of October 1st this year, so we'll see how that goes. So I will be clean shaven for the month of October.
Thanks for the warning.
Okay, let's move on. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Inhumans, Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of meaningless hand gestures.
If you'd like to talk to us about meaningless hand gestures, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail with your impressions on meaningless hand gestures, you can call it at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
If you'd like to discuss meaningless hand gestures on Facebook, you can visit our page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you'd like to make sure Starpie can see your meaningless hand gestures, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you'd like to see us trying out meaningless hand gestures, you can find our YouTube page at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
And as you can hear, Michelle has joined us again because she just didn't have enough of the Inhumans on Friday night. So we said, come on board, and we can talk Inhumans on Sunday. So thank you very much for joining us again for the third time in a row, Michelle.
I needed a therapy session, and this is a lot cheaper than anything else.
I would agree, because between Haley, Lauren, and I, we would charge, roughly $2,000 an hour. So this you get for free.
Good.
We could go the Jerry Hogarth route and charge $5 for 2 seconds of time.
Which is what, $9,000 or so an hour?
I can't math.
Per hour, yes.
Yeah. Haley did the math.
I already did the math.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't remember. I've slept since then.
Yeah, I can't afford that. I don't know who can.
Not me at all. No podcaster could afford that.
I'm sure Chris Hardwick could.
Podcasting isn't as lucrative. And besides, he doesn't just podcast.
Well, he also, married into crap loads of money.
Well, there's that. Assuming that they have a joint checkbook.
Have you seen his newer suits?
No, actually, I haven't seen him in a little while. So he's really razzle-dazzled up, huh?
Yep.
I have no idea who he married, so I'm going to take your word for it, Haley.
He's doing okay.
Okay, good to know. And talking about doing okay, we're just going to get into this and hopefully we will do okay. We had the Inhumans premiere last Friday night, just a couple of days ago. It was 2 episodes, 2 hours on your Friday night TV on ABC.
Yay.
Yeah. Behold the Inhumans and those who would destroy us. And I'm pretty sure I got the behold the Inhumans, but does anybody want to take a stab at those who would destroy us and what that title means?
It's Scott Buck and his team trying to destroy our Friday nights.
I don't know if they mean humans or Maximus or Maximus talking about the other in humans. I'm so confused, you guys.
Okay, so we're duly noted as being confused by the title. If anybody has a better idea of how to characterize it, please get a hold of us and we will talk about it next time. In the meantime, let's move on with the creative team behind these two episodes. Haley, who directed them?
It was directed by Roel Rein. He has 38 directing credits going back to 1990, but a lot of this looks like it's German television. Nothing I've really heard of until more recently. He did an episode of Black Sails, and he did two episodes of Inhumans. He also has a bunch of producing credits.
He also did Scorpion King 3, Death Race 2, Death Race Inferno, The Condemned 2, Man with the Iron Fist 2, which I didn't realize they'd made a sequel to, so I might actually have to check that out.
He's the guy you get for direct-to-video sequels?
Well, yeah, and actually we've talked about him before. He's the one that said, I think they hired me because I work cheap and I work fast.
Could be indeed. And given what he had to work with, he probably did okay. Was it dubbed in German? I don't know. I'd like to see that one, the German dub of it. In the meantime, Lauren, who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Scott Buck, who we've been talking about a lot lately because he was the showrunner for Iron Fist and wrote three episodes of it. He's also written five episodes of Coach back in 1996. His first writing credit was an episode of Charlie Hoover in 1991. He wrote three episodes of The Oblongs, seven episodes of 6 Feet Under, two episodes of Rome, 17 episodes of Dexter, and he wrote two episodes of The Inhumans and is writing for a TV series coming up called Fobbit, which has like no information for it.
Sure, it's going to be great.
Also of note, if you haven't heard us say anything about it in the last like 50 podcasts, Scott Buck is the showrunner for Inhumans, so I would expect him to want to write it. I don't know if he's going to write the finale episode or not. We'll see when we get there. Let's move on into an explanation because this is a new series to us. So let's look at the entire cast as a whole. Michelle, do you want to take us down who plays Black Bolt?
Anson Mount plays Black Bolt, had bit parts in Natalie McBeal, Sex and the City, Smallville, Lost and Dollhouse, more substantive roles in Third Watch, The Mountain, Line of Fire, Conviction, and Hell on Wheels, and was also cast in the films Boiler Room, The Battle of Shaker Heights, Nonstop, and Mr. Right.
Yeah, I know him primarily from Hell on Wheels, although the first time I saw him was in Crossroads, yes, the Britney Spears movie, which did, in its favor, also have Zoe Saldana.
So a couple of Marvel characters came from there. That's interesting. So Haley, who played Medusa?
Serinda Swan, who had bit parts in Blood Ties, Psych, Supernatural, Smallville, Hawaii Five-O, The Tomorrow People, and Chicago Fire, and bigger parts in Breakout Kings, Graceland, and Ballers. And she's also been in Tron Legacy, Creature, and Sister on the big screen.
Yes. In Tron Legacy, okay, she's one of the sirens, the girls in white who, when Sam shows up, is the one who puts him in the suit. She's the one that grabs the disc and gives it to him.
It's an important role, and I had to make a note of it in the show notes. So, yes, she was involved in that and a lot of other great series, too. So it's good to see her, and we'll get to talk about her performance on the screen in a little bit. Haley, who played Karnak?
Karnak was played by Ken Lung, not to be confused with Kun Lun, as we've been talking about in Iron Fist. But he has been in Rush Hour, AI Artificial Intelligence, Vanilla Sky, X-Men The Last Stand, Star Wars The Force Awakens, and in TV shows Law & Order, Lost, Deception, Person of Interest, Zero Hour, and The Night Shift. And the first thing I remember seeing him in was lost.
I will always remember from X-Men The Last Stand. He's the guy with, like, the spikes.
Yeah, I mean, when I watch it again, I haven't watched it again in a really long time, but if I watch it again, I notice him, but I don't remember him from that, like, from watching it the first time.
He's one of these character actors that I really like him in whatever he's in. I want to like him in this, because, again, I like the actor.
He's probably one of my favorite characters up to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love his interpretation of the Carnite character, so can't wait to get more into that. Lauren, who played Gorgon?
We have Emma Iwakor as Gorgon. He's been in Silicon Valley, Castle, Hawaii Five-O, We Are Angels, Extant, and Colony. And I think I remember him from Silicon Valley. And he's also in a movie that I absolutely love called Ink. It's this little independent movie, and they actually released it on torrent sites first back in like 2005, something like that. It used to be on Netflix. I think it's on Amazon right now. And it is so good. So seriously, look it up. But yes, he plays Gorgon. So he has hooves. And I actually kind of liked him in this too.
Yeah, we didn't get enough of him, I think. But obviously, I think we're headed for that next episode. So Friday night's probably going to be half Gorgon. At least I hope so. So Michelle, who played Crystal?
Crystal's played by Isabel Cornish. Also seen in Rescue Special Ops, Dance Academy, Home and Away, Puberty Blues, and Australia Day.
Ooh.
She is the younger sister of Abby Cornish, who is another famous Australian actress. You might remember her from stuff like the 2014 RoboCop, Seven Psychopaths. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Her career was sort of taking off for a while there. And it's interesting to see Isabel Cornish sort of following in that arc. And yeah, of course she's in Home and Away. Like, every Australian actor is in Home and Away.
This is like their one huge show that they have down there.
Didn't it run for forever?
It's been on for like, I don't know, like 30 years, something like that. Like a really long time.
Everybody here has done an episode of Law and Order because, you know, there were like five of them and a couple of them ran for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then we also have Louise, which is the, I want to say NASA worker, but the Callisto Aerospace Control Center worker, right, Haley?
Yes. And she is played by Ellen Waglum. She has had roles in Californication and Outlaw. And you've also seen her in The Bernie Mac Show, Criminal Minds, The OC, Scandal, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Castle.
And then Maximus. Michelle, do you want to take a stab at who plays Maximus?
Okay. Is it Rain?
Ewan Rian.
See, there you go. The dude's Ramsay from Game of Thrones. Like, that's it. Like,
he's also Simon in Misfits.
That's true. And I enjoyed Misfits.
And he's also this really sweet guy in the show Vicious.
Yeah, but I have to admit, I was calling him, like, Ramsay throughout the entire episode, as was my mom. And because she's just like, oh, Ramsay, when he does blah, blah, blah in the episode. So, yeah, that's everybody's going to know him.
I think everyone was calling him Ramsay.
Yeah.
I think he'll be called Ramsay for a very, very long time. And
yeah,
I hope for his personal sake that he's able to break out of that typecasting and get a little bit more roles, because he does play the characters well for what he does.
Yeah, I love the actor, and he's really funny and a really nice guy. And I remember somebody saying, like, I think nice people played like the best villains, and I think this is a case of that.
So we'll hope for a lot from Maximus, obviously, since he's playing a like character from Game of Thrones, really, here. And then, of course, let's not forget Lockjaw, that wonderful, huge, truck-sized dog that is in this. 100% CGI, apparently.
Hadn't noticed.
I could never have told.
According to the information that I've seen about the show, it's one of the first, if not the first, complete full CGI character on a TV series. So pay attention to poor old Lockjaw. And I say poor old Lockjaw because of the circumstances he finds himself at the end of this premiere. One more I want to run down is the actor that plays Oran. It's Sonia Balmaraz, and she has so far done a pretty good job. I don't know how long she's going to be on the show. She's not listed as a main character. She's listed as a recurring character. So I just don't know how many episodes she has in her. And we only have 6 left, so don't know how many more she's going to be in or not. So with the characters behind us, with the actors behind us, with the creative team behind us, it's time to launch into the show. And we're going to launch into it by saying there's a heck of a lot of exposition in this show.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a whole lot of, as you know, Steve, going on in especially the first several minutes of the show. And that kind of exposition just really bugs me.
As you know, we're the king and queen. As you know, we've been the king and queen for a while, because can you remember a time before? No?
Yeah. As you know, Maximus became a human when he went through his pterogenesis.
They brought that up a lot.
They did.
Yeah.
If you're trying to create sympathetic characters, making them be super racist is not how to do it.
Because as you know, if you don't make the cut, you end up in the mines.
And again, having your sympathetic characters send people to be literal slaves in a mine, not making them terribly sympathetic here.
Also, your villain is the guy that wants to free them from the mines. Like,
yeah.
Who are we supposed to root for?
Like, in all honesty, I'm rooting for Maximus here.
I know. Especially after he shaved Medusa's head, so we don't have to see that awful hair anymore.
Oh my god, I have so much to say about that scene.
Yeah, that was no bueno.
But yeah, so much exposition, so much very clunky exposition. And these actors, I mean, bless them, they're trying so hard with what they've been given.
There's moments of brilliance here and there. You had to hunt for it, but it was there, especially their performances. Karnak, for example, had a couple of great scenes there. My cool thing, we all agreed to bring one cool thing to the table. And my cool thing was, it was cool to see the moon version of Adelan. Now, I realize this is not necessarily the comic book version, but it was nice after so many years of trying to figure out what Adelan was in this universe here. This is basically the MCU still. And we finally get it on the moon. Whole bunch of problems about that being there, but it is on the moon, and it was nice to see it and what it was. So that's my cool thing of the episode. Now, Lauren, you had a note about Black Bolt's expressions.
Yeah, I will say that Anson Mount does about a 50-50 job of being really, really hilarious here. There's a lot of times where he just looks, I mean, he's trying very hard to act with only his face. It is a really difficult job to be limited in your ability as an actor. I mean, I've heard people talk about it, like when Ty lost an eye in Battlestar Galactica and had to wear an eye patch. Michael Hogan was talking about how it really limited his ability to project and stuff. And Adam Driver, when talking about how playing Kylo Ren through the mask, the thing that helped him there was, there's a class at Juilliard that teaches mask work. But here, it's like he was really, really overcompensating by giving very exaggerated facial expressions. And it mostly didn't work for me. But once he got to Hawaii and he's in this whole fish out of water situation, it becomes hilarious.
Don't you love when any show goes to Hawaii, or any, they shoot it in Hawaii for any Polynesian South Pacific island, that you always get the same shots from the same areas? Because Oahu, which is where they usually film, it's very populated. So there's very few areas that you can shoot and make it look like it's a jungle.
Yeah, it's mostly done. And I recognized a bunch of these places on Kualoa Ranch. A couple years ago, I went on a cruise to Hawaii, and I was really lucky and got to go to Kualoa Ranch And I didn't get to do the movie tour where they take you to where they filmed like Jurassic Park and Lost. And they still have a bunch of the sets standing, or portions of the set, like the gates from Jurassic Park and some of the statues from Lost. But they film, like, there's some mountain ranges that it's just incredibly obvious if you've seen them. Oh, that's Kualoa Ranch. There's just portions. And it's because they have the infrastructure to be able to drive out there, whereas in some other portions of the island, they don't have the infrastructure to carry you out there because it's still very, very mountainous and jungle, and it's very difficult.
Yep. So basically, if you've seen those film pieces, screen pieces before, you've seen exactly where they're filming on Oahu. But if you don't have the history of those things, it looks cool being there. So
it's kind of like how if you see a show shot in Canada, you will recognize the same like five trees and stump
and that one house.
Yeah
The CW shows on comic books in Vancouver, they're getting kind of tight on reusing areas to shoot on, because we've seen multiple areas several times on several different shows, and they're supposed to be different cities. So it does get, if you're watching the show with that critique, it gets a little bit repetitive, but hey, it's just popcorn TV shows there. And that's, I guess, what this is supposed to be. I don't know. We'll get there in a second. Let's talk about Medusa's hair, since that was a huge thing that happened in these 2 hours. Medusa's hair was very capable thing of its own. An entity of its own, was capable of doing a lot, and they just got rid of it. And it was very painful to watch.
Yeah. How do we make this guy, our designated bad guy, unsympathetic? Well, let's have him be jealous because his brother got to hook up with Medusa, and in revenge for her picking the wrong guy, he forcibly shaves her head. And it's, honestly, it's horrible. It's just this very, honestly, sexualized act of violence, and I was not there for that. But honestly, she really does look better with the buzzed head. That really long wig made her face look, like, really, really severe and square. And the buzz cut looks cool. But the way that they did it was really, really, really awful.
One of the things that my mom said about the show was predictable. And she's like, I knew the younger brother was going to revolt. I knew he was probably jealous of him being with Medusa. I figured out they were going to shave her head. And it's one of those things that where I wish we had spent more time with her and her hair. I mean, it was nice. We got the bedroom scene and the hair with the manipulating their Apple Watches or whatever they are. But we don't know if it's like her actual power. I have no idea which interpretation of Medusa they were going to go with, because in the comic book, it's a little bit different. So it's more like, oh my goodness, she had this hair and then now it's gone. And it's like, did she suffer pain? Is the hair a living entity, and did that suffer pain? Can her hair grow back? That sort of thing. So it was an awful scene because of like what represents, but how much pain did she go through? And I don't really get that part of it.
I kind of wondered that too, because if, you know, her hair is moving around, like, does it have, you know, nerve endings and stuff in it? So, you know, when he shaved her head, is that like cutting off parts of her fingers or something? But that's not information that we're given.
Yeah, we're not given a lot of information here.
She was put in at least an electric daze. Like, she was stunned to the point where she couldn't move and the hair wasn't able to do anything. So I don't know how numb she was during that whole thing, but obviously it definitely is a concern, especially with this entity. And I don't know if the entity is her or it's like a symbiote. I don't know any of that, because it depends on which version of Medusa they're actually going with. Wasn't explained to us. Now, we're bringing up the guy that did this, Maximus. And Haley, you have a bit to say about a nuanced Maximus.
Yeah, I've only read a few years of Inhumans comics from the very beginning, so I don't know what else they might have done with his character. But when he's introduced, he's the bad guy because he's bad and he wants to do bad things. he wants to be the king because the world is a mess and he just needs to rule it. And that's his motivation for everything he does. In this, though, you've got our, quote, heroes who are enslaving a huge portion of their population to go work in the mines. And he is there saying, like, no, this isn't right. These people shouldn't have to slave away in the mines. There's this whole planet we could all go to where they would not have to be slaves. And he's the one, at least in the first couple episodes, that you're like, yeah, he's right. So the only reason we know he's the villain is because he's played by Ramsay Bolton.
Again, there's like 2 points in the show where the writers are like, oh yeah, we have to make him the bad guy. And other than that, he is honestly the most sympathetic character other than Lockjaw in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the head shaving scene that, oh yeah, he's the bad guy. And when he almost hurts the dog, that's, yeah, you know, the shoot the dog moment, as Lauren has brought up before.
It is a literal shoot the dog moment. And even then, I'm still rooting for Maximus. Guys, writers, this should not be happening. You should not make me root for a guy who threatens a dog.
Yeah, my mom is actually on the side of the miners. Because she's like, well, I was on the side of Maximus, but then he like threatened the dog and stuff. And then she's not sure if he's lying to the miners because she thinks he's using that boy who can kind of see the future. So she's just like, you know what? I want one of the miners to just rise up and just take care of everybody and that be the show.
I almost wanted that kid to be Ulysses from the Civil War II event, but I guess Ulysses has transcended, is no longer available for use, but they bend comics all the time. They could have brought him back, although
he's probably Ulysses in all but name.
Yeah.
They gave him just like a weird name now. And it's like, I love how at the very beginning, they're like, okay, we're going to get these 2 kids, one with a super awesome pretty name and one with a name that kind of sounds like I threw up a little in my mouth. Which one is going to be the Inhuman?
Right. And I guess another reason why they didn't use Ulysses was the whole pushback against the Civil War II, because a lot of people didn't like that whole thing all the way around and what it did to all the characters. So talking about the comic books, though, let's talk about the powers in the comic books, the historical powers for these main characters, and then how they were depicted on the show, because in some cases they were
poorly.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I like start this part? Because I'm bringing up my mom, because my mom is what I would call like a casual geek. She didn't read the comics. She doesn't pick them apart. She watches the genre shows. She watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I told my mom, it's like, look, I want you to just watch it. No, you're not going to ask me what happened. No, you're not going to ask me anything. I just want you to sit down and I just want you to watch it. And I want you to tell me what they can do. And she actually, you know, she's like, okay, Black Bolt, his voice kills things. Medusa, she's just like, okay, her hair was special and now that's gone. And so she's just human. Karnak, she actually kind of got that right, where she's like, well, he can see a possibility, say no, and then do something else. Gorgon, she's like, he has hooves, so who cares? Why is he special? And then my favorite was her description of Crystal, where she goes, it's like, what does Crystal do, Mom? She goes, God, all she does is point and makes a little pop. Why is she special? She points and things go like a little boop.
Well, and until what was probably the second episode, I thought, oh, she can talk to Lockjaw.
Yeah. And my mom's kind of like, I've actually read some different reviews where there's even those who are even more confused. I've read online, some reviewers thought Karnak time traveled, which I can actually understand that interpretation. Now that I've kind of given this regular interpretation, what are their powers actually supposed to be?
So, Lauren, let's start with you. What do you think that Black Bolt's powers are actually supposed to be in the comic books?
Well, in the comics, if he makes a noise, if he says a word, yeah, he destroys things. And by the way, Black Bolt's full name is Blackagar Boltagon, which is like the worst name ever. So as the show was starting, my husband like leans out of his office and goes, Blackagar Boltagon! And I was a little bit drunk because I'd been pre-gaming at a Mexican food restaurant with a very strong drink. And I was just laughing hysterically because it's really funny to go around yelling, Blackagar Boltagon.
What does it say about a series where you have to pregame by loading up on alcohol?
It didn't help, and honestly, it just started wearing off halfway through, and I started getting a headache. And then I just woke up dehydrated in the morning. But anyway, so they actually got that pretty much right. And Medusa with the hair, I mean, they got that right. The others, I honestly don't have all that much. Like, I've never actively sought out Inhumans comics. Like, the only thing I really know about them is that Crystal, at one point, marries Quicksilver briefly. They have a daughter, Luna, and then Crystal divorces Quicksilver.
She also dated Johnny Storm for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And currently in the comics, or at least a few months ago in the comics, Johnny Storm was living in New Adelin with them and was on their side in the Inhumans versus X-Men event.
That was confusing to me because Medusa and Johnny Storm were, it seemed like they were in a relationship, but that Black Bolt was still there. So I don't know.
Everything's confusing.
Yeah, I do know that Black Bolt was the one that allegedly killed Cyclops in that Inhumans versus X-Men event.
Yep. And it turns out that there was more to it than that. Spoiler, spoiler. Go listen to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition.
So, Haley, do you have anything to add about the other characters like Gorgon and Karnak?
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember at all what Gorgon did. I think the first iteration I saw of Karnak, he knew, like, exactly where to hit something was the extent of his powers. And then, you know, Triton's like a fish dude.
Yeah, so Karnak has this wonderful ability to predict the future, basically, by thinking about everything. So you're seeing in the show, you're seeing him back up in his mind and play it over and over again until he gets it right in thought, and then he goes through probabilities and stuff like that, and he's able to actually get out of the thing. Now, Gorgon in the TV show here, he put his foot down and literally just shook the earth, right? So everybody was thrown back because of that, and I'm not sure if that was his real power in the comics or not. Special hooves, I guess. We'll have to look into that. I'm sure Black Adam is screaming at us right now, so I'm sure we'll hear from him next time.
In the Wikipedia page, it says, abilities, enhanced strength and durability. Ability to generate seismic shockwaves via bull-like legs and hooves.
Yeah, that was spot on then. And if we see anything different as the series progresses, we will go ahead and talk about it in the future. One Inhuman to note that I thought was interesting was Eldrak. And Eldrak was the wall dude, as Lauren put it in pregame here, where he's able to transport people. And it was really cool. Did you see his like little sly smile as she went through? She said, if you hurt me, bad things are going to happen to you. And he just kind of slyly smirked and sent her knee deep or waist deep into a wall.
Yeah. Wall dude was entertaining. Like, what kind of bad luck would you have to have your powers be, I'm a wall?
Yeah, how would that even work? You'd go into the Terra Genesis chamber and come out a wall?
Also, it annoyed me that there was no cocoons.
Maybe he didn't start as a wall. Like, he just came out kind of rocky and he grew over time into a wall.
Or maybe he was like a misty type form and he just settled into the wall.
They did note about the Terra Genesis crystals that they were diluted in comparison to what they had aboard there in the moon. So maybe the diluted Terra Genesis needs a cocoon. And if you create a booth with pure Terra Genesis crystals that you don't need a cocoon around you, I don't know. I'm stretching. I'm reaching there.
Come on. That one chick turned into a butterfly. We could have gotten a cocoon for that. It would have been great.
Yeah, maybe the royal family of Inhumans is just better at making Inhumans than the dotards still on Earth.
I get that they wanted to probably distance themselves from the Inhumans portrayed on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's a visual language that we're used to. And even in the comics, the Inhuman cocoon is a thing. So it really annoyed me.
Maybe they just didn't have time in the script. I don't know.
They used up all their CGI on Medusa's hair and Lockjaw and Wall Guy. I don't know his name.
It's Eldrak.
Like she said, oh,
Yeah.
Well, I like Wall Guy better.
Well, the only reason I know that is I had the closed captioning on.
Yeah, so did I, but I still don't remember his name.
How much did you pregame?
A bit.
Yeah, there.
I did not pregame and I didn't remember.
Yeah, I could still spell on Twitter, so.
Good job.
Yes.
Let's talk about how this whole thing ends up. So we got the royal family is scattered on Oahu, except for Crystal, which is back on the station in its city, I guess is the best way to call it. And Maximus is propositioning her hard. So we'll see how that unfolds. That unfolds in the next couple of episodes. But I want to focus on Black Bolt, because Black Bolt, it seemed to me, after he did the whole thing with the cop car, he just gave up. He's like,
No, they tased him.
Yeah, that was hilarious, by the way, watching him get tased. And then just like, I'm going to say it was kind of hilarious to watch a privileged white guy getting beat up by the cops for once.
Don't resist.
Yeah, that was. And then, of course, he like goes bleh, and then the cop car just explodes and they're just like, And I don't know, just because Black Bolt was annoying me, it was very satisfying. But
were you annoyed that he wasn't shaved to start the series at least?
Yes. Like, come on. We know Black Bolt is this like bald dude. He has I'm just so used to him with the weird
the hoodie things.
Yeah.
Like, I would have even been fine, like, give him his flat top or whatever look he's going for, but he should have been clean shaven to start, and then he could grow the scruff as he's wandering around on Earth.
Yeah, it would be a good visual indicator of just, like, how far he's fallen, and I just keep thinking, guys, we could have had Vin Diesel. We almost had Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. As for giving up, in the police station, he literally gives up, because he could have easily gotten out of that. And he didn't.
Right, but the only way he could have gotten out was by killing a lot of people, and he didn't want to do that.
That's supposed to be the writer's way of saying, hey, this is our good guy, because he could have killed all of Hawaii, but he doesn't. So therefore, we should like him, even though he has slaves on the moon.
Medusa can use a knife.
Yeah, we find out Medusa, she can actually fight without her hair, which made me appreciate her more. Yep. Like, so far, of the Inhuman crew, other than Maximus, Medusa, Karnak, and Gorgon are the ones that I sympathize with the most, other than Lockjaw. Black Bolt is just doing nothing for me. Crystal is actively annoying me.
Yeah, she's such an annoying teenager. I don't know how old she's supposed to be, but she's acting like a teenager.
Yeah, I just... come on, guys.
She looks a little bit older than a teenager, but yeah, she's acting like it. Especially with the earphones on, jamming away while somebody's trying to call her on a cool... Okay, so we brought it up before. I want to bring it up again. The cool little futuristic Apple Watch that's actually an Apple Watch and an iPhone all together, and then it bends and everything like that. It's so cool. I want that. We need Steve Jobs back to make that.
Yeah, it's like it can be small when you don't need to use it, like you just wear it on your wrist. But then when you need a bigger phone, you unfold it. Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's useful.
Yes.
We need that, absolutely. And it kind of confused me a little bit. Like, Black Bolt took a look at the phone that the lady took a picture of him as he caused the accident when he first got there with Lockjaw. And it almost looked like, to me, like he didn't know what a phone was, which would make sense because he's on the moon. But then he's got this high-tech phone that folds out. So I don't know.
They have those two people in white watching TV all the time, and they come by and they see what life is like on Earth. So they know. Obviously, those two people in the white hoodies probably, I don't know, tell them the important things, give them like bullet points every week or something.
What was up with those guys?
They were projecting the news feeds from Earth.
Yeah, but they didn't tell us anything about them.
And when there's a fight, they just sit there.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy to watch that much satellite TV.
Were you guys a little disappointed in the fight scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Medusa and Auron one was probably the most impressive one in the...
But even then, like, the editing was weird. Like, they kept doing, like, all the slow-mo stuff and...
Yeah. They kept doing, it was especially obvious in the first few minutes of the show, just absolutely unnecessary slow-mo.
Yes.
It's like, why? Are you just trying to fill up the time? What's going on?
I want to go back to that because I have a real issue with them just showing us this cute young lady and then killing her right away, or allegedly killing her. I think they killed her anyway. And it's like, why? You introduce her to us just to kill her off within the first 2 minutes? What's up with that?
Yeah.
All right. Michelle, you actually wanted to have a conversation about what we think this show is about. And I think we need to have that conversation because I'm a little confused. At no surprise there. I'm often confused. But tell me, help me out here. What is the show all about?
Well, it's called The Inhumans. So it's about them. But we're dealt with a typical brother versus brother. One is king, one is not. There's a revolt. All Maximus wants to do is to, like, go to Earth and hang out. I don't understand why are they on the moon. How come they aren't in, like, this remote part of Canada and just hanging out there? Because part of me is like, well, secret country somewhere? Well, that's Wakanda. You know, it's with the shield with Black Panther. So it's like, I don't get why are they in the moon? Why do they need to mine things? How do they deal with our gravity? How come they know English? Because that's another thing. It's like, how come Black Bolt needs his own sign language, but everybody speaks English? There's obviously not a we want to take over the world thing going on. So there's not that plot. The humans aren't exactly attacking the moon. So there's not that plot. So it's about maybe Black Bolt and them going back home?
It's about Perlmutter really wanted to do the Inhumans.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of the made-up sign language, I don't necessarily have a problem with it because they wouldn't know ASL. ASL was invented in 1817, like formalized then. So if they went to the moon before then they would have no reason to know it. However, you're not telling me there aren't any deaf people on the moon in all this time they've been living there. There should be some kind of system that they would have worked out for non-communicative or deaf, like non-verbal or deaf people to communicate. I mean, you can't just rely on like telepaths or whatever.
Well, he also had a very limited set of hand gestures he was using. Like, there's no way he was communicating full thoughts and sentences with like the four gestures he was using.
The whole, what I saw in like the interviews and stuff was that they were like, oh, Medusa, like him and Medusa worked out this system between them. So she taught him all this stuff. And it's like, again, you're not telling me that, I don't know, the world building I thought was lazy. But again, it's what you were saying, Michelle. There's just all these logistics and like, I'm not saying that we're going to get into the minutiae of this in a movie, a TV show, whatever. But there's so much you could do with set designing, with just little background things that could hint at how stuff happened. And they didn't, it's like they didn't bother to do any of it. Everything looks like a set. Everything feels like it's just here because somebody said it was.
You brought forward, Michelle, the question of the mining, and I have no idea. That's a great question. My assumption was that they had to mine for additional space and resources in order to keep their growing society going. That's what I had taken from that. I might be wrong. I probably am, but that's the assumption that I had.
I thought they were mining for Terrigen.
That could be too.
What are they eating?
Exactly. What are they eating? How?
Soylent Green.
Do they have animals, like farm animals up there?
Like, where's the farm dome?
That's resource heavy. Agriculture is a very resource heavy thing.
Yeah, like where are the factories where they refine whatever it is they're mining? How are they used to our gravity?
Why do the common people only wear like shades of gray and black, whereas like the royal family gets to wear the pretty colors? Where do they get the material for this clothing? Who creates their technology?
Medusa's hair.
How come there aren't any ships? Why they need to teleport? How come there aren't ships?
Well, if you could teleport, you wouldn't need. Yeah.
but they also appear to not really go anywhere. They just stay here on the moon.
And then if they're a closed society, how can they have genetic variation? Because if you have a small population, eventually everybody's going to be each other's cousin.
They do have a genetic council, and maybe that's part of their job, is to like make sure people don't get too inbred.
It's kind of like that Icelandic dating app where you're making sure you're not dating somebody who's too closely related to you.
Didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. They have that in South Korea. In South Korea, they have to actually trace to make sure that you're not, because that's also a small population.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I need to look more into this. This is very, very interesting.
Yep. Genetic bottlenecking is a thing.
Yeah. And that's what all the Inhumans is about, which is a good place to leave this series for.
Well, actually, no, we should talk about Luis for a second.
Okay.
The Earth person.
Yeah. They keep introducing her and we have like, they don't do anything with her.
Right. But she sees something weird on her imaging in a world where we've seen the Hulk and Thor and Iron Man, and they think she's deranged. They forgot that they're in the Marvel Universe, this one guy running her organization. Like in Iron Fist, you know, you can't just dismiss somebody as crazy anymore, because they might not be. Like, you can't just dismiss her as a crackpot. She might be right.
Exactly.
Unless this doesn't take place in the MCU, which we don't know. I'm so confused.
I think it does, because they made all the references to the Terra Genesis that was ongoing because of the contamination of the water supply.
I'm so confused.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Okay, so Louise, by the way, is the, I want to say scientist, but she's more like a project manager, project director, program director at Callisto Aerospace, where they had the little rover on the moon that they took very sloppily to have a picture taken of a hoof before they disconnected it. And she's convinced that something's on the moon with a hoof. And then to get to your lady's points, she corroborates it with weird energy spikes, which they all believe and all agree happen. So you take this rover with this hoof that appears out of nowhere, and you take these energy spikes. Yeah, of course there's something going on. Duh, worst corporate leader ever.
So that was Gorgon who did that. So do they need spacesuits in order to go outside of the moon? Because I didn't see him in any sort of spacesuit, because it was just a hoof. And because the rover hit the wall. So did he let it in to stomp it, or?
I don't know.
Is there like.
Are you complaining about a boy playing with his little car?
I guess.
All right. Just because somebody else was driving it doesn't mean that Gordon can't come around and take it for his own little stash. It was neat that Karnak was taking a look at it and go, still using lithium for the battery. Okay, anything else for the episode? Michelle, anything else?
My one positive is that I'm really glad the cast isn't all white people.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though it's supposed to be a family and they're all related in some way, I guess. Yeah, that was good to see as well. Haley, what do you got to end this up with?
I don't know. I'm glad there's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, 6 left. Lauren, what do you got?
I'm really hoping that we see improvement in the writing over the next couple of episodes, and that they actually give us characters that we can root for instead of designated good guy, designated bad guy. I'm trying to remain positive, but it's just really hard.
Yeah. Now, recently we did episode 200 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., in which we went back in time and watched the pilot episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A lot of people at that pilot had a lot of these same things that we were talking about with that pilot. And then 4 years later, we watched it and going, hey, that's actually pretty fun for us to watch. So hopefully this won't be as bad, and it's actually setting up some things to come. It could happen. We don't know. And remember, you know, you can't have all good things without the encounter at Farpoint for those Star Trek TNG watchers. Some things just take time. We'll see how this turns out. We'll see if they get a second season. We'll see if this translates into the MCU directly. We'll see if this actually is affecting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. later on this year. All great questions. We don't know the answers to. And talking about the broader Marvel Comic Universe. Next time, next episode, episode number 206 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about The Defenders, season one, episode one, The H Word. And then next week, next Sunday, we'll come back in episode 207 and we'll talk Inhumans, episode three, Divide and Conquer. And if that's not enough geeky content for you, you can go over to the GunnaGeek.com network and check out the Starling Tribune. And recently, the Starling Tribune published an episode number 164 labeled The Fellowship of the Spear with Legends of Tomorrow. The Starling Tribune reporters, Stargate Pioneer, Chris and Michelle discuss the Legends of Tomorrow second season 15th episode, Fellowship of the Spear. Catch the crew as they describe the ratings in terms of the NCAA basketball tournament, try to understand Mick's fateful decision, and how this was a better fellowship than Tolkien's fellowship. You can check that out at GunnaGeek.com. Once again, that's Legends of Tomorrow, Fellowship of the Spear, episode number 164 of the Starling Tribune.
All right, news. We've been talking about the Punisher, and we got another Punisher promo this week.
Yeah, it was a thing from Instagram, and somebody on IO9 saved it, and it's just like him walking through the frame and going through flashbacks, and you see like some of his time in the military, the death of his family, really creepy soundtrack. It's really cool. It's only like 50 seconds long, but it's interesting. Very, very creepy, honestly.
That makes sense with the Punisher. It's what I would expect.
All right. We've also got some news coming from the X-Men universe. Old Man Logan is getting an Old Man Hawkeye prequel.
And the creative team is really interesting. Daily News reporter Ethan Sachs is writing it, and Marco Cicchetto, who illustrated Star Wars Captain Phasma, will be illustrating it, and it's going to be a 12-issue miniseries premiering in January. Okay, so Hawkeye in the original Old Man Logan, Mark Millar run, was blind. So in this one, it's taking place as he's starting to lose his vision. So this could be really cool. I don't know, I'm going to give it a shot.
Huh. We had talked a little bit about The Gifted before. Apparently, Polaris is going to be Magneto's daughter. They're sticking with that.
Yeah, the showrunner, Matt Nick, said, "There is some awareness she's Magneto's daughter. I mean, her powers certainly are like Magneto's. That's something we will be exploring as time goes on, but more toward the end of the season, when some of these ideas and suspicions come to the fore." So that's going to be cool. Like, so we know that this is actually connected to a universe where Magneto exists.
Is it the Michael Fassbender Magneto, or is it, I mean, is this connected to the movies, or is this...
Shrug? I don't know.
As far as we know, it's supposed to be, like, Fox is kind of doing their own It's All Connected thing. So Legion is technically connected to the movies. Maybe. Good question. And I'm glad you gave us the opportunity to discuss that today. But a little bit more about The Gifted. The Latino hero that they created has a colorful past that not everyone is thrilled with.
Yeah, the Mary Sue has an article about it called "The Latino Hero You Created Just Had to Have a Drug Cartel Past. You're Killing Me, The Gifted." They created a character named Marco Diaz, which is incidentally the name of one of the main characters from a Disney show, Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which is a fantastic show. And so it's great, you know, that we're seeing more and more Latino characters on TV. When I was growing up, that never happened. The actor who plays him, Sean Teal, is a British actor of Venezuelan, Spanish, and Welsh descent, but the character of Eclipse was born in Mexico. And according to Matt Nix, he came to the attention of the Mutant Underground, and they ended up bringing him in as someone who had connections and know-how, because he's an immigrant with a connection to Mexican drug cartels. So it's like two stereotypes in one go. And that's something that a lot of people are, including me, honestly, have a problem with. It's like back in the 80s, if you were a Latino woman in the movies or on TV, you had to be a maid or a grandma. And now the thing is, if you're a Latino on TV, you have to be connected to a drug cartel or you have to be an immigrant. And it's just a new generation of stereotypes. And it's like, you can't just be a person. You have to be the stereotype. So a couple of my friends are actually boycotting the show because of this. I'm not boycotting it, but I am upset about it.
Well, that's too bad because the trailers that I've seen have looked really well. So
yeah, the trailers look good. And again, I'm really happy because they're bringing in some characters that I really, really like. Like they're bringing in Blink and they're bringing in Polaris. And I really like some of the, like, again, it's a lot of the stuff that they're doing is, you know, oh, these people who come from a place of privilege and all of a sudden they find out that they are now the persecuted group of people. And it's a really interesting thing, and it's one of the things that X-Men excels at, is using itself as an analogy for real world persecution. But then one of the problems, and it goes with the comics too, is that writers who are not familiar with a certain experience will rely on stereotypes. And it's just, it's really lazy and it's annoying and it can be harmful. So it's just another, like, really annoying thing. But I'm hoping that the show will be good.
Yep. This last article is also from the Mary Sue, and also about X-Men, about who a new X-Men might be and what his powers might be.
Yeah, so HuffPost Comedy had a tag called, okay, it's a HuffPost Comedy hashtag game.
Okay.
And it was Mutant Trump Powers. And there were some really, really funny ones, like the ability to see very fine people that are invisible to everyone else, able to repel women with a glance,
able to default tall buildings in a single bound.
X-ray blindness. That was a good one.
Ability to magnify crowd sizes
with only his mind.
Ability to summon undead. There's some really, really funny ones. So that made me laugh.
Yeah, and with that, that's the end of the news this week. We're going to move on to some feedback.
Okay, we got a lot of feedback this week because of the whole live tweet thing. And thank y'all so much for participating in that. It was so good to know I wasn't alone while I watched this. So I picked out a couple. First from Adana Girl, we had hashtag Inhumans, hashtag Agent Carter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. She put a gif of Dottie from...
Oh.
Yeah. Where's Peggy? And aww. I kind of have to agree with her there. From Starsaber, our consultant Black Adam, Starsaber underscore 222. He pointed out... Also, since Medusa can control her hair, I wonder if she felt pain when it was being cut off. We discussed that a little earlier, and yeah, that's one of those really horrifying things that you think about later.
We sure did.
Yeah. At Cajun underscore Sean, friend of the show, said, I'm watching Ancient Aliens, and it's by far more entertaining than Inhumans. And a positive tweet for the show. At Wes Sager said, huh? So much hate. Anyways, I like it and feel like they worked on it and fixed some things since the IMAX release. Not as bad as people say.
That's interesting to know because none of us saw it in IMAX.
Yeah, Black Adam did. And I was out of the state, so I didn't get a chance to see it. And I know y'all didn't see it, obviously.
Not many people did.
Yeah, and it only was in theaters for a week so that they could release it, which I'm finally going to go see this week. I'm so excited.
By the way, for the Peggy Carter tie-in, there is one in this show, and that's Black Bolt, Anson Mount, was on Conviction, which is the show that Haley Atwell had after Agent Carter. So there is...
Also, not many people saw it.
Yeah, sadly.
While I was watching it, this week, I was thinking, I'm glad I didn't see this in IMAX because I bet the effects really looked crappy on an IMAX screen.
Yeah, it was pretty obviously done on a TV budget. But yeah, I'm glad it worked for some people. Again, I don't want projects to fail, but it has not clicked for me so far. We also have a voicemail.
Yeah, we do. And it's from Black Adam, who watched the IMAX release. So we'll see what he has to say right now.
Hey, guys, it's Adam calling in with feedback for the opening two-parter of Inhumans. And, well, actually, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it this week, but I did watch it in IMAX at the beginning of the month. And so here you go. I think it does have some significant problems, but a lot of pilots do. I think it has potential. Not as much as, well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had some growing to do in its first season, too, but it had a full season to do it, which Inhumans isn't going to have. But hopefully they'll make some good progress going forward. We'll just have to wait and see. I really liked Karnak, and then Black Bolt did a good job of expressing himself with the limitations of the character, which have to be really tough for an actor, so I give him a lot of credit for doing as well as he did there. I do find it interesting that they basically depowered or captured basically everyone to save special effects money going forward. I mean, with Karnak, his powers are acting up, but they don't have to do the effects for them every time, and Gorgon, you just have to do the effects every time he's on screen. I have to admit that my first thought when they started shaving Medusa's head was, well, there go everyone's complaints about the wig. We'll have to see how that goes. She and Crystal are probably the characters that I connect least to at this point, which is unfortunate, but like I said, they'll have time to develop that. Well, I kind of have an idea of what Lauren thinks from the live tweets, but can't wait to hear what the rest of you think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks very much, Adam, for the voicemail. It's nice hearing your voice again on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And to everybody else out there, feel free to send in a voicemail on your thoughts about Inhumans or the Defenders, since we'll be starting that next Thursday at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. So Adam admits that there's significant problems, but there's potential. He really liked Karnak, and so did I. And he talked about the Black Bolt's expressions and the fact that depowered everybody. I think that's an obvious thing that they're saving on special effects, but you can't capture the royal family without depowering them. Otherwise, they'll find a way to do the superhero fight like every episode. So I think it's more than just special effects. I think it's storytelling as well. I don't know. What do you ladies think?
Budget.
Yeah. A lot of it, I think, is budgetary reasons. And story reasons, because they are overpowered. I mean, typically, from what I understand in the comics, it's always Inhumans fighting other really, really superpowered people. Whereas here, if they're going to Earth and they're fighting mainly non-powered people, it's the gods versus humans thing.
Indeed. Well, thanks very much again, Adam. We really appreciate it. Keep those voicemails coming in.
And we also have a comment on YouTube. This was from our last episode. It was from Humperdoo2. Hey, can you do a live episode on quantum computing? LOL.
That'd be cool. We should do that sometime.
Y'all would have to be the ones talking about it because I know nothing about quantum computing. Or else I can read up on it before then.
And you're talking about particles that can be in two places at once. I think it'd be right up your alley to read up on it in 15 minutes and be able to discuss it.
All we need to do is call up the Prime Minister of Canada.
Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, we'll just call him up, bribe him with some more Star Wars socks, and he'll explain it for us.
That's awesome. Trudeau, you just get better and better all the time. That is it for the feedback for this episode. And due to prior agreement, we have agreed to teleport this one out. want to thank everybody who has been with us this summer, and you're coming back for the wonderful fall season of Comic Book TV. Don't hesitate to check out our Defenders series, which we're going to start next episode as well. It's going to be a great fall starting with this week. So thank you very much for staying with us, or if you're new to the show, picking it up just for these new series. So we really appreciate you being here.
And I want to thank everybody who's gotten a hold of us, everybody who has checked in during our live tweets. Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. We love hearing from you. Please get a hold of us with your opinions on Inhumans or Defenders, since we're about to start that. Let us know if you think we're wrong. Let us know if you think we missed anything. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much.
And if you're one of the people that is really enjoying Inhumans, let us know what you like about it. Because up to this point, we're not super, super big fans of it, but maybe we're missing something that we should be loving.
And thank you very much, Michelle, for joining us for another wonderful episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Without you, we wouldn't have thought to talk about anything positive with the Inhumans.
Hey, I'm just trying to do my part. I do want this to succeed. Part of me, I'm going to confess, part of me is a little upset that they did this instead of giving us Agent Carter Season 3. I really wish they did Agent Carter Season 3, but okay, we're getting this. I hope it gets better. And I'm, you know, thank you for having me on here again. And, you know, Lauren, your tweets, very entertaining. Help everybody get through the show.
A little bit of self-promotion, though. You do your own live tweeting.
Yes, I live tweet Supergirl, Flash, Legend of Tomorrow, and Arrow. And that'll be starting up in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait to see your Supergirl live tweets, especially because I had been liking the show, and what I've heard of the season makes it sound like maybe it's going to be a bit of a mess. I'm hoping not, but we'll see.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you can check those out at Starling Tribune. We're going to do an episode of
Flash to Supergirl predictions.
Yeah,
yes.
Predictions. Stay tuned for that on the Starling Tribune. In the meantime, that wraps it up for this episode. And until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys Thursday.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
The last show on this SD card, SD card number 17. Goes into the sleeve after this, and I've actually already got SD card number 18 labeled and ready to go.
I have SD card number 3 just arrived at the office.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Do you switch them out for like audiobook projects to podcasting, or just when they fill up? Or
no, I just switch them out as they fill up.
I got this nice, neat SD card holder. And organize everything, make sure I don't lose them, because once they lay around a little bit, they get lost in the desk. And
yeah, I'm having that problem now. I'm putting them in like a bag.
Do you label them?
No, I should.
A little bit of OCD, but it helps. I got a little labeler and put the sticker with the number of the card on there. This is 18. I know you can't see it, it's not focusing in on it, but
that's a good idea.
I don't know. What do I take away? I guess we don't need this for the show.
Golden Isle, we are 40.
What the hell is that?
Oh, it's Emily from The Story Behind. She did it for us as a bump for better podcasting.
It's nice.
The broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.